Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the God Factor Podcast, where we have conversations about what it means to live with intention and with purpose. And it's your girl, Abiola Makonjola. And today at the podcast, I have a very special friend of mine, Ayodele Idowu. Drum roll. Ayo.
Thank you for having me.
How long have I known you? I've known you for... We're actually talking about this yesterday. I've known you for about 6 years now, eh?
I think it's more than that. It should be more than that.
I met you in 2017 at 24/7. That's when I first met you, and I was just like, who's this boisterous, energetic child? Yeah. Who's just...
there I was like, who? Where are you from? And they just know about it. I'm like, oh, that's my person. that's my person, and then we just click from there.
Yeah, it's been a journey. You know what? I'm gonna leave you to introduce yourself. So introduce yourself, and then we're gonna dive into the conversation. So take it over. Who's Ayo?
That's a very good question. I mean, even up to now, I've not been able to answer that question. To be honest, every time when someone asks me who is Ayo, I have different definitions, because every time you're constantly evolving, you're constantly changing, you know. Basically, Ayo is someone who's trying to know God more, someone who's trying to be God-like. You know, there's so many things that have happened in my life that I'm like, I can't do this all alone. I just need help. I need support. And, you know, just like everything in life, change is constant. But yeah, when you meet me, you know, most people, when they see me, like, oh, this guy has way too much energy, like this, you know, the life of the party. And sometimes, you know, it can come off as too much, right? So unless you have the capacity to receive the kind of energy I'm bringing, you can be like, man, this guy is just way too much for me, right? So, yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. Ayo is everything and more that he just described, honestly. But Ayo, I feel like I have known you through different phases of your, well, I don't want to say different phases of your life. I've only known you for 6 years. But I feel like we have grown, we've had the closest relationship in this season of your life. I've come to watch you evolve, or just see you as a different person, just who you are and the kind of man that you want to be. You're such an intentional person. You just don't do things you don't do things the worldly way. You actually put in you're intentional with how you do things in your relationship with your work. You're just very intentional. I don't even know what to say, but you're just very, very intentional. And I've just come to see that in this season that, you know, that we've had like a closer bond. So how did that happen? Like, what led you to wanting to be that way? What led you to wanting to be that intentional and being more Christ-like as opposed to doing things the worldly way?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, sometimes in life, when things happen, right, you feel like you know it all. Personally, for me, I went to Mayflower School. Like, I don't know if you know of Mayflower. Mayflower, basically, you literally drop your religion at the door.
Religion.
Yeah. And coming as someone who, you know, grew up with an Islamic background, so, like, for the better part of 10 years of my growing up, I was just, like, you know, just, you know, passing through life, right? You know, you go to Mayflower, like, first thing, like, no religion, drop it out the door, whatever your beliefs are, because Tarsha Lang himself was an atheist, right? So, it has that
more. Oh, he was?
Yeah. I mean, initially he was a Christian, but then he lost his twin, and then losing his twin resulted to him losing faith in God, and it was like, yeah, it is nothing with God. So when you go to Mayflower School, you basically have to drop your religion at the door. We do have days where practice Christianity, some days Islamic practices, but basically there's nothing like religion that you have to, for lack of better words, you're not fully formed Right. And then I went through that phase of, just being, just existing. And then after high
So wait,
school,
so hold on, wait, hold on. Let's before let's not let's 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 unpack that. So dropping your religion at the door. So I didn't even know that. It's so interesting because I mean I feel like there are atheists in Nigeria. So we are Nigerians. And if you know anything about Nigerians, we're very, very like Nigeria is a heavily religious country. There's a thin line between culture and religion. It almost like intertwines. So having a school like Mayflower underneath, like founded by this atheist person, did you guys have so one of the things, again, for people, just to create some context for the people, some people who might not necessarily know, who might not have schooled in Nigeria listening to this. In Nigeria, so we used to have in high school, we used to have CRK and IRK. So CRK was Christian Religious Studies and or Christian Religious Knowledge or CRS, and IRK or IRS was Islamic Religious Studies or Islamic Religious Knowledge. And normally when you're a Muslim, you do IRK. When you're a Christian, you do CRK. I did IRK because I was a Muslim through out my like secondary school days. So did you guys have CRK and IRK on the curriculum?
No, there was nothing like that.
Wow. So like
Yeah.
what did they like what did like was there anything? So there was nothing pertaining to religion that was being taught?
No, being taught, no, only practice. So what we'd usually do is Fridays, there was a mosque that you could go to on Fridays, and then for the Christians, we have assemblies that you could also attend. They were like some smaller Christian groups. But it's not as safe. It's not something like the school in itself practice as a curriculum or enforced, right? Like why you have some schools where it's compulsory, you're in this group. But for Mayfly, it wasn't like that. There were just smaller groups that smaller student union groups where Christians could join, and then on Fridays, Muslim go to the mosque. Even our school assembly, we always pray in both Islamic way as well as the Christian way, all to, during assembly. So it's just a way to
Every
kind of,
day.
I can't even remember if it's every day, but I think it's mostly on Thursdays, Tuesdays. I can't remember the exact details, but there was a way it was being done, right? I can't remember the
Right.
exact details. It's been
Oh,
so
that's
long.
interesting. That's super interesting. Wow. Okay, so obviously you started there and you went there from like the whole of secondary school, so practically from like GS1 to SS3. So again, for context, that would be like your middle school to high school. So that would be like your grade 6 to grade 12 for my North American listeners. So yeah, so how so continue the story. So now you get into high school. So what happened?
Yeah, so just leaving religion behind and everything. I wasn't too keen, even though dad was always saying, whenever we're back on holidays, take you to Arabic school, try to read the Quran, and then but just the fact that you have spent so much time not practicing religion, it's not it doesn't move you, right? You're not too fazed about it. So you just go just because you want to fulfill your dad's quote and unquote is religious beliefs and everything. But then after high school, when I started going to university, right, that was when it hit me in some form that I can't do life just, walking by life. I need some sort of higher power to commit to. I need something that I can, call on. So, because I found out that I was failing at life miserably. I was failing at
What did
life
that look like?
miserably.
What was that like? Tell
I
us.
mean,
Let's unpack that.
first of all, a young Nigerian coming to Canada, you're like, oh,
How
I've
old were
seen
you when you
enough.
came to Canada?
I was 2021. I think
2021
was
K. Ayo,
no
2021
like
is 2 years ago.
no. I mean, like I was 20 years old, like slash 20.
Oh, 20. Oh, right. Okay.
So I was like, I was that young, but then thinking that you're going to this quote unquote abroad, and then being as someone that's going to boarding school, you think that you'd have that experience of being away from your parents,
One second.
but
So, did you go to university in Nigeria before you came here?
I just did just because I didn't want to stay at home.
How many years did you do in Nigeria in
4 months.
university? Oh, just oh, how what school?
Where I went to FUTA, that time, Federal University of Technology, Accra. Actually,
All right.
before that, I'm just going to take a step back. Before that, I was supposed to go to OAU, which is Obafemi Awolowo University, right? When I took my jam, I did I did put OAU as both first choice and second choice, but my dad did warn me. My dad was like, "No, you can't do that." But I was like, "No, I didn't want to go to this school. This school like was do or die for me."
Why
You
did you
know,
want to
like
go to OAU? Was he a
it's
girl?
just it's no, it wasn't with girl. You know the prestige now. We're growing up, you
Yeah.
know, hearing about UNILAG. If it's not UNILAG, it's OAU. If it's not OAU, it's Ibadan, right? So
Yeah.
for me, OAU was just what resonated with me. And then I had a family friend that was in OAU that was just that kept on pushing and pushing. So that idea just was like, okay, yeah, it's OAU or nothing. And my dad was like, no, you can't do that. That you need to take another school, pick something just in case. You don't have a backup plan. But what happened is when I did my jam, I wrote my post jam, I didn't make the cutoff mark, and then I can't go to OAU, so I had to wait for the next jam season. And then this time around, I had to now do the same thing that my dad said, like just pick a different school. That's why I moved, picked it as my second
Futa,
choice.
right. Oh,
I
okay.
picked it as second choice, and then but then just because of the fact that I was like, this is OAU, I'm going to this school, whether you guys like it or not. And then I was like, Dad, can I do the pre-degree instead of just waiting and see? Just was like, yeah, sure. Because all you have the pre-degree where you can do, like, I think they call it, I'm not sure what it's called here, but pre-degree just basically means that since you didn't pass your post-jam, you can do pre-degree and then use that instead of doing post-jam and then get into OAU proper, right? But something happened when I was writing my maths exam. I was at the point where I was like, God, I don't know what to do right now. If I know if I do this math exam, I'm going to fail. I don't know how or why, but I just had this conviction that I was going to fail this exam. But if I did go to Futa to write my post-jam, which was scheduled to be on the same day as the math exam, that I might just have a chance. So what I did was like, okay, well, I just spoke to a friend, and then I just went down to Akure from Ife. I got to Akure 12 midnight. I wrote my jam the next morning. I didn't even tell my parents I was leaving. Like that's how crazy it was. I didn't tell my parents I was leaving. I just left, I took my bag, got to Akure 12 midnight, wrote the exam 7 o'clock. I think in 2 days' time I got the result and my name was like number 3 on the list. I was like, yes. Yeah,
To
I
get into
12.
Futa.
Yeah, I'm telling you, yes, to get into Futa.
Wow. What did
And
your dad say?
when I mean, I called my mom because my mom's always like like every Nigerian home, right? My mom is the link between us. I called my mom, like, ah, mom, I'm no longer going to, if I'm going to Accra. She's like, wait, what? Like, how? When? I thought I was not going to pass my maths test, so I just went to Accra. For some reasons, they were actually happy that I did that day because what they saw was someone who took initiative,
Yeah.
who saw that, okay, if this was not going to work out, then let me just try the other option, right? And
Right.
that's something that I think subconsciously I've learned from my mom. My mom is someone that whenever she's faced with disappointment, whenever she's faced with any adversity, she's like, what's the next way out? What's the next way
Yeah,
out? Like,
right.
how do we get out of this? Because I even remember even coming to the story of how I was coming to Canada when I went for my US interview. I was supposed to go to Florida. I got admission to Jacksonville College. I think it was to study either childhood education or something. I can't remember what it was, but when I was doing my interview for the US visa, then I came out and my mom saw my face. She was like, nah, she knew that this guy didn't get a visa to US. And then she was like, ah, well, no problem. She just took her phone, she called her friend, hello, what's the name of that school that you said your son was going to in Canada again? Right. And that was it. That was how we
That's how
just
you went to Manitoba.
I'm telling you, that's how my mom just called her friend, change of plans, and then started making plans for Canada. I think the whole process took probably 8 months before the whole thing came into fruition. That's how I landed myself here. Yeah, but then to just get back to the story of how I left. Yeah, when I told my dad, it was like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? I got into my mining engineering, I think. Yeah, it was mining engineering. And then at the time, I was already waiting for my visa for Canada, right? I already knew I was gonna go, so yeah, I just went there, enjoyed myself for 4 months. I met a couple of people that we're still friends to today, even within that 4 months that I stayed there, we're still friends up till now, right? And yeah, that's pretty much the story.
Interesting. So, So you said you came to now you've come to Canada, right? And you have finished at Mayflower, and you now realize that the no religion thing is not working for you because you realize that you are not able to, you need a higher power to be able to surrender to. And you said because there was just a lot of things that was going on in your life and you couldn't place a finger on it. So what were those things? What kind of adversities did you face as a 20-year-old first-year student at a university?
First of all, when I came, I was like, first few weeks, I was happy to get away from my parents. I'm not even gonna lie, I was so
As always,
I was so happy to get away from my parents. I'm like, yes, I'm now free. I have this freedom. But along the line, what I came to realize is that sometimes too much freedom is actually not good. Or should, for lack of better words, not too much freedom. You need as much freedom as you can handle. Because if you get too much of it, you can misuse it. What I realized is as time passed by, I started dealing with a lot of depression. There was even somebody I spoke with. Even at the time when we met, there was someone, I don't know if you can remember, it was a lady I spoke with. I actually voiced out, I was like, I'm dealing with depression. And then she was like, I don't remember exactly how she said it, but you know how Nigerians always reply when you tell me I'm dealing with something. She was like, "You will not have depression in Jesus' name." Yes, that is what she said. That was exactly what she said. You will not have depression in Jesus' name. For me, I was like, "I'm dealing with something here," and then this is what you're telling me. It was just all sort of confusing at the time when she said it. I was actually very angry. I was very angry at, because the way she said it was just, it just sounded very condescending, and
Yeah,
it
very
just sounded like she let,
dismissive.
yeah, exactly, that she didn't care, she didn't understand where it's coming from. But, that's when things started happening for me, that I was like, I need God in a way. I need to find God for me, right? I need it not because of maybe my dad said this, or maybe my mom's. I needed to find it for me. The things that were happening was my school wasn't going on well. I was failing classes, all the plans that I was making, everything was just crumbling, dealing with depression. And then, just seeing all your mates progress in ways that, you guys came together, and then you're seeing these people progress in life, and then you're just feeling stuck in a way. And I was then I, that was when I made the decision that, I needed God somehow. One day when I was driving by, there was this church that I saw, New Beginnings. That was in the That's the name of it. It's in Winnipeg. New Beginnings Church. And then sometimes where you're just driving by, then something just, brings you back now that you have to go there. Just made a U-turn and I went to church, and that's how I started, following God, and it was trying to be like Christ-like and just following God's ways. And to be honest, from that moment up to now, it's been a journey. It's
What's that journey been like? I don't even know. I feel like, so first of all, how did your obviously you're coming from a Muslim background, because I also was Muslim up until 2019, and for the longest time I fought that urge. I transitioned from edging God out completely to now knowing that, okay, there was a supernatural being who made me and who cared for me, but I still could not connect with God from a standpoint of being in Islam. So I found myself for a little bit, for like 2 years, I found myself fighting. I'm like, no, I was born a Muslim, I'm supposed to die a Muslim. But then I find myself reading Bible passages, and I was able to connect better to God with reading Bible passages as opposed to reading the Quran for some reason. I don't know what it was, but that was just what it was for me. I found myself, I stopped praying 5 times daily, because I'm just like, because at first the rule is you pray 5 times daily. If you don't pray 5 times daily, God is not going to forgive you. Then I was like, I wonder what's going to happen if I stop praying 5 times daily. So I went and I stopped praying 5 times daily, and I was like, oh, I'm still alive, I'm good. God is still here, like he's still with me. Then I now started working with a coach who would always talk about God. She always used the Bible to preach. She always like made the Bible her reference point. And it resonated so deep with me. And I'm like, wow, okay, that this is something. And then finally in 2019, I got tired of fighting and I just, you know, surrendered and I gave my life to Christ. I believe it was January. I don't remember the date, but I believe it was January. I know it was January 2019, but I just don't remember the exact date. And my parents didn't take it very well because, of course, for them, I think they also took it as part of, like, for them, it was like an ego thing, like we give birth to you in the Islamic faith and then now you're going to change that. No, till tomorrow. Sometimes my mother still believes that there's still a possibility that I will switch, and I'm not saying never. I'm not saying never. However, I do know that I found peace in the Christian faith. You know, I found peace being able to relate with God, reading the Bible. I've just found peace that way. But anyway, how did your parents react to that? Like, what was that like?
I mean, growing up, the thing there is, even my dad, whenever we're doing the salat, right, whenever we're praying, he actually reads the Bible.
It's really?
He does, which is actually very surprising.
That's interesting.
And then, because every time we pray, he's always reading Psalm 51, which is almost like, yeah, every single time we pray, he's always reciting Psalm 51, which is, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according to the multitude of tender mercies, both of my transgressions. And so it's always reciting it. And then my mom, for most part, whenever we go out, my mom is always the kind of person that she believes either you follow the Islamic faith or the Christian faith, mm-hmm. you're still doing God, right? Mm-hmm. Because she grew up in a background where our siblings are Christians, mm-hmm. and then she's kind of used to it in a sense. So When I told my mom, she was like, "Well, if that's the way you want to live it, for some reason, my mom didn't. She's not, you know, that's mom's for you. If I said I don't even want to do anything anymore, she'd be like, as long as you are happy, right? Because mm-hmm. that's just the maternal instincts that are coming through, right? Mm-hmm. So she was like, yeah, okay, no problem. As long as you know you're happy. But then she also asked me why, and I told her that. It just was something that just brought peace to me. And I just never fitted in Islamic faith. You know, I just...
Right.
Yeah. It's not even about... I mean, I do read the Quran. I do all of that. I do pray. But I just never fitted in. There was this... It was as if something was missing.
Yes.
Yeah. It was as if something was missing. And I was like, you know what? You know, just like you said, there was no reason to keep on fighting, because I'm not going to lie to you. For the most part, I've always going to have me be a Christian. Like, my lie can never happen. Yeah, I was like, it can never happen. But when you find yourself, you know, looking for something, just, should I say, looking for God, right? God will always find a way to point you in the right direction.
Yes.
Right? So I was like, you know what? Is there any point fighting this anymore? There's really no point. And mm-hmm. then that's how I just said, okay, I'm just going to do it. You know, and I got baptized in 2016. And then I just started to follow God. But even after my baptism, it was as if I just performed a rite of passage, right? But I didn't follow God as much. Mm. But I knew that, okay, this is what I wanted to do. But there was no intentionality behind it, should I say, for lack of better words, I didn't follow through. But I knew that was what I was going to do anyways. But I just like, well, I've done it, so now let me rest, right? And then I just went back, you know, I'm done with my life like that.
Yeah. So, like, what changed in terms of, like, you being more intentional with your faith, like, wanting to be Christ-like? Because we had a conversation, even as of yesterday, we still had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're always saying, they'll say that we should be Christ-like, but the world will not be, people will be doing stuff to you that will make you want to choose the world. You see this thing.
I think for me, when you want to be Christ-like, it's you see the world from a different perspective. And I can only speak for my own self, but if you're someone who is very empathetic, like, you have this compassion in your heart, like, you know that you're supposed to be good to people. It's just there. Like, you can't help it. right? And then you're trying to be like Christ. And then you now begin to realize that just being good alone and then trying to be like Christ, right, it's, you know, it somewhat embodies Christ in itself. Because, you know, you've got to be generous, you have to be kind. You also have to be patient, even sometimes when things are not even going your way, which is very, very, it is a very hard thing to do. Trust me.
Very hard,
It's a very, yeah,
very hard.
it's a very hard thing to do. And then at some point you'll be like, you know what? This is what the Bible is saying I should do. This is how the word is. Now, sometimes you are now at that crossroad that do I really want to be like Christ or do I want to follow the word? I know what is going to happen if I follow the word. The outcome is almost certain. But that uncertainty that is behind following God's plan for you, sometimes it's difficult to follow. You know, like they say, it's hard to go through a road where you don't see the finish line. It's really hard to walk through a dark road where you don't, because walking with God basically means you're walking blindly. You know, you're just trusting that God, okay, whatever it is that you want to do with me, whatever it is that you have your plan, I'm just surrendering myself to you. I hope it's for the best. Even if it's not for the best, I'm trusting that you have some sort of grand plan for me, right? However, if you want to follow the Western way or the way of the world, it's almost guaranteed you know exactly what's going to happen. You know that if you do this, this is going to happen like this. If you do this, this is going to bring that. But following the way of God, it's not like that. It's really not. It's like just driving at night with your lights off, but trusting that you're going in the right direction, right? Yeah. So for me, it's more like, you know what, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you that this is what I want, and I want to do the right way. But this right way is hard. How do I not fall into that temptation of trying to go, you know, through the way of the world?
So what have you learned about yourself in like this time, just doing things in a Christ-like way? What are some of the things you've learned about yourself?
It's hard. I'm not even gonna lie. It's really hard. Like it's if anyone is telling you that they're trying to be like Christ, that, oh, it's easy, it's a lie.
Yeah, literally dying to your ego.
I'm telling you, it's a lie.
Like, yeah,
It's a
literally dying
lie.
to your ego in every
It's a
aspect. It's
lie.
like, the word just came to my head. I don't know what the chapter or the verse or the book that it says, but that there's a portion of the Bible where it says, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. That's literally what it is.
It's really hard because being Christ-like basically means you're stripping yourself of everything you've known. It means that everything that you know, you have to strip yourself. Like it's okay, God, this is me, bare naked in front of you. How do I navigate the situation? How do I go through this? You know, I mean, you know, the things that have happened in my life. That's even right now. I'm in a situation where I'm like, God, is this really the plan? Is this what you promised me? Like, you know, I mean, to the point I'm like, even right now, I'm like angry at God for things that have happened in my life. And I'm like, at the same time, you know that you're not supposed to be angry. You know, I think I told you this last where I bought a book of like how to forgive, how to forget what you can forget, how to forgive what you can't forget. And then the first passage I opened, which was, it was totally random, was how to forgive God. I just broke down in tears. Because you know, when you're trying to be like someone and then everything that you know in your head is not working according to the plan, and then you're like, is this really worth it? Like, you know, is it worth it to go to follow through this plan, or should I just do what I know? You know?
Damn. So I mean, I don't know if you want to shed light on some of the things that are going on right now.
I can't, why
We
not?
kind of spoke about it before, and I was like, I'm gonna. I like to dig deep. I like to ask questions. If you don't know that about me already, I like to ask questions.
Ask away.
Okay, let's shed light on it. What's happening? Tell us what's happening. What's happening? I actually want us to flesh it out because we have private conversations about it, and I feel like it's such important conversation that people have to know, because again, you've learned this from this situation. You've learned this about yourself and about other people and just how people respond to different situations from this situation of yours. So I think it'd be a good, not I don't think, it'd be a very good learning experience and just conversational experience for this recording. So let's take it away. Shed light. I mean, let's go.
Where do I start from? Is it from being engaged? Is it being engaged and then all of a sudden I'm no longer engaged, or is it losing a job? And you know, everything was just happening in the space of who knows. Being engaged, not being engaged, finding love, losing the love, trusting people betraying your trust, losing your job. All of a sudden, the things that you thought were working well and nothing is working well. And then you find a situation where you're just angry. Like every day, you're just angry. And, you know, and then you're just angry at, not just at yourself, but also at God as well. Because you're like, this is not what you promised me. This is not what you envisioned for me. But at the same time, too, this whole experience in itself has taught me a lot of things about myself that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be broken. It's okay to feel miserable. It's okay to feel lost, because you can't find anything unless you are lost. Mm-hmm. You know, you literally need to be lost to find something, right? Mm-hmm. So this whole experience in itself has taught me a lot of things about myself. Mm-hmm. It's taught me a lot of things about relationships. It taught me about trauma responses, how we behave, why we behave. I mean, at this point, I'm looking like a semi-psychologist, right? Because,
you can diagnose people from far. Are you on avoidance? Or are you secure? Or are you secure, anxious? Yeah. What's your attachment style?
You can see, like, you literally can see. And, you know, going to therapy as well helped. Going to therapy, because one thing I'm actually grateful for going to therapy was repairing the relationship I had with my parents, most especially my dad. There's some times where I can't even talk to my dad for 6 months in a stretch. I'm not even bothered. A year. Sometimes, like, that's how long it goes without talking to my dad. Yeah, but going to therapy made me realize that I was angry at him, angry at my parents. But then I didn't know why I was angry at them.
So what did therapy teach you? Like, what did that teach you?
One thing therapy taught me was I did have some formed beliefs that were necessarily not true. You know, there were some beliefs that were necessarily not true. Like, for instance, I've always felt, or should I say, I always thought that my dad didn't like me. I always thought that, because growing up as a child, I realized, or should, not even as a child, but to where I am right now, I've always grown or felt like I was not lovable. And that feeling of not being lovable, it makes you subconsciously become people pleasers, right? Because then you realize that if I behave a certain way, if I don't show this authentic part of me, this person's not going to like me. So I have to show the part of me that is good so that this person can like me, which is what, if we go back a little bit, is exactly what was happening with my parents. I feel like unless I tell them that I was succeeding in some part of my life, they wouldn't like me. And for the most part, for a very, very long time, my mom was always thinking that I hated my dad. She was like, "You have to talk to your dad." I'm like, "I have to talk to him. It doesn't really matter." But it's just because I had this anger in me, thinking that he doesn't love me, he doesn't show emotions, he doesn't do any of that, right? And then going to therapy made me realize that my dad actually loves me more than I actually think. The therapist was able to put things in a different perspective for me. Like, you know, like I always tell you, feelings are not facts. Emotions are not facts. So she was able to put things in perspective for me. She was like, "Okay, what are the things that your dad did for you that you think were okay?" And I was like, if I'm being honest, ever since I've come to this country, I don't think I've lacked when it comes to finances.
Right.
When it comes to paying my fees. Obviously, I messed up at some point, but generally speaking, my dad would always pay my fees. He
Right.
would always make sure, even if it's not as much as what I needed, but at least he was doing what he could at the
Right.
time. Also supporting two other children in Europe, in
Right.
Belarus, because I have siblings there
Right.
as well. Right, making sure that I was okay, you know.
Right.
Those are the things that he did, and it was always making sure, asking how my school was. But then what I come to realize going to therapy is I can't blame somebody for not treating me the way I want to be treated when they themselves don't even know any better. Right.
That's
That's
facts.
yeah, that's something that
That's
resonated with me.
facts.
That yeah. So when I learned that, I was like, you know what? Just maybe. And then thankfully I had my uncle who I was able to, you know, pour my heart to. Thankfully for him, he has traveled around the world. So he kind of understands where I'm coming from. You know, because he called me one day and he was like, "What's going on between you and your dad?" And I spoke to him, like I poured my heart out to him, because for him, he's been to the Western world, he's back home, he's all over the world. So he understands my side of the story. And then he was able to talk to my dad that, "Oh, this is what's going on with your son, this is everything." And he said that even my dad even broke down. It was like, "How is my son going through all of this? And he can't talk to me, he can't tell me what's going on with him, right?" And then that conversation with him, my dad called me, spoke for almost 1.5 hours, which is the longest one I've spoken to in a very long time. And yeah, we spoke at length, and he said all the things, and it was like, "Yeah, I know that you want to do all of this, but you cannot be struggling and leave me out of your struggle, you know? Yeah, you can't." He said, "He was saying you can't be struggling and leave me out of your struggle. Like, at the end of the day, I'm still your father. I don't think you have any other one out there, right?" And then we're just talking, and from that moment, I needed to try at least. I needed to forgive him for his shortcomings. I also needed to forgive myself too, because I myself, I didn't even know any better too, right? Yeah. So now, honestly, if I don't hear from my father in 2 weeks, I'll be panicking. I've not heard from this man, you know. I'll literally be panicking, like, "I haven't heard from this guy. Like, what's up again?" And I'll call him. Sometimes I'm like, I'll call him and he doesn't pick up. Just drop a message like that. "What's up? I haven't heard from you in a minute. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing fine." At least that, you know, I'm trying to meet him halfway. And he's also trying his best as well. So just going to therapy alone opened me to a lot of things. And I'm like, even though the opinion, everybody needs therapy.
Bro,
Every,
talking,
every,
saying
every,
loud for the people at the back. Everybody needs therapy, you hear? Like, everybody needs therapy because at the end of the day, we are all dealing with some kind of trauma. Some of it is generational trauma that we did not ask for. And some of it is just, trauma that we might have picked up along the way from other people projecting their own trauma on us or whatever the case is, right? But I do believe that everybody needs that space for them to be able to really not internalize everything that's happening, but like have that space to be able to have those conversations and just be like, you know what, it's okay. It's not your fault. This person did what they did with the knowledge or the ability or whatever it is that they had with, at that point in time. And it's not your fault that you picked that up. But now it's time for you to tell a different story. It's time for you to do things differently. It's time for you to choose a different narrative. So I do believe everybody needs therapy. I do believe everybody needs that. Just that introspection to just sit down and just be like, why am I like this? Like, why am I angry at this person? Because just like I was also angry at my parents, my father. And I didn't necessarily understand who my dad was. I just thought, I always looked at him. I looked at him from the perspective of you have it, but you just don't want to give it. But when I started to understand that this man actually doesn't even know, like, he doesn't even know whether he has it or not. Like, he only knows what he has. I don't think he has explored what he doesn't have. Then it made me take 10 steps back and be like, and I started to look at them from a different perspective. And I was just like, wow, okay. And what happens to Ayo is when we continue to be angry with our parents for not doing what it is that we think they should have done to us, we carry that anger and we project it on our children because that's all we know. So subconsciously, that becomes how we decide to parent our children. And for me, that was a turning point because I had I my first son I had when I was 20. So for the first, I would say 5, 6 years of his life, I was parenting him the way that I was parented. But then when like you, I just had nowhere else to go. And I'm just like, I had nowhere else to go to but just turn to God and just be like, God, yo, let's have a conversation because this is not working. I had to dump a lot of the things that I thought I knew or the things that were handed down to me. And I had to start learning new ways. So I was unlearning and relearning stuff. And then I went into coaching. So I've been in therapy, but I've done more of coaching, which does involve some form of therapy because they walk you all the way back and then they take you forward. So I have done that. So I was able to like see the picture bigger and better to say that these people do not know what they were doing. Like they only knew what they knew how to do with the information that they had. And that's what they handed to you. Now it's your turn. Instead of being angry and brooding all over the place, it's your turn to now take that step forward and do even more. Unlearn some of those things. So a lot of the things that my parents did, whatever I feel like is good, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good. This is good. I take that on. And whatever I feel like I don't need or it doesn't work for me, let me put it that way. Whatever I believe doesn't work for me, who I am as a person or who I know myself to be as a person, I strip myself of that. And then I go out and I go and create my own story or I learn something new. I just find ways to do things differently. Right. So I'm really glad you touched on that. I'm really glad that you actually went to therapy. Ayo, I'm so proud of you. And I just feel like maybe we'll have this conversation after. But actually, no, I feel like you're supposed to be in. I feel like your calling is greater than what you're actually doing right now. I feel like you're supposed to be in some kind of like mentorship line, like mentoring people. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know if you're ready for that, for the magnitude of that, but I feel like that's what you're supposed to be. Because even when I hear you talk about like these types of issues, like your passion for it, it's like your body language, everything switches and you're just like, yeah. And I'm like, yes, that's my friend. Yes, let's go. Let's go.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. The thought has crossed my mind. It has crossed my mind one or two times.
Yeah.
But right now, for me, that thought has crossed my mind in so many ways, but the best way for me to actually put my thoughts into anything is to write. I love writing.
Yeah, you do.
Although I've not been consistent, but I
write love letters for the ladies out there. Just saying.
Okay, it's a way for me to decompress. Surprisingly for me, when I write, I just keep writing. The only issue I have with writing is that just grabbing that pen is just the hardest part.
Yeah.
But when I take the pen, I just write. I pour out my heart, everything, my emotions. It's easier for me to see things from a different place.
Right.
This is why I'm thinking about writing a book. I mean, I've just written like only one page or two, but it's something.
We're gonna flesh it out. Yeah. You're gonna write it.
It's something. Yeah. I've thought about it.
Yeah, I really, really hope that you find that thing that God has called you to do. And I really hope that you really live in it and you bask in it and you just enjoy doing it because, yeah, you're somebody who deserves the best. But anyways, moving on. So you did mention something about your engagements, being engaged and not being engaged. And I want to know, is that something that you want to go into?
That's like you know this Nigerian buildings when you're building a house and they say the house is getting nicer, it's nice, and all of a sudden everything just collapsed. That's how my engagement has been. It's been a roller coaster. Some days I'm like, I'm glad I was engaged, and some days I was like, I'm glad. Maybe I shouldn't have even met this person in the first place. You know, there's this constant back and forth. There's this constant back and forth. But I think there's something I told you that I'm trying to do now is, you know, live life from the place of abundance. You know, rather than living life from the place of surplus, which is what I think I've been doing before. But right now I'm just changing that perspective. And you know what? I'm just living life from a place of abundance, right? Regarding my engagement, well, you know, I met this lady. I'm not going to lie. She's,
Where'd you meet her? How'd you meet her?
I met her through a mutual friend, went to the same high school. And she posted a picture on WhatsApp story. And I was like, who's this girl? And My friend, knowing me, knows that I always joke around when I say, "Oh, who's this girl? Send me a picture, send me a number." She always knows. She was like, the first thing she said, I was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna give you this one. I know you're never serious. You never take anything serious." But then, for some reasons, I was like, "Nah, this one is different. Something. There's just something about this that just felt different." And then she gave me this. She gave me a contact, and then we started talking and all. And then we didn't even talk for a while, for a better part of 2 months. And then we reconnected again, and then we started talking. And then, now they always say one text message led to two text messages, led to one voice call, led to video calls, led to nights of thousands of video calls. And then we just started talking about life. And then this person just resonated with me. And then I, prayed to God about it. And I was like, "Oh God, if this is your will, please show me the way." Pray to God about it, and God was like, "Yeah, sure, this is the person for you." And that's someone who is very, very intentional, right? Someone who is very, very intentional. When I discovered that this person was going to be my partner, when I made up the decision that this person was going to be my partner for life, I was all in. Even coming from a place where I didn't have all together, right? But I was operating from a place that is you or you, right? I mean, at some time, sometimes I like think to myself, "Is that something I should have done?" Other times I'm like, "Yeah, this person's your person. What's the point of holding back? What's the point of saying that you love this person and then you're putting on handbrake?" For me, I didn't see any point in it. There was no point doing that, And as someone who heart is very big, very passionate, very compassionate, this empathy is there, and that's one thing that empaths struggle with. You can literally take on the weight of the world. Like there's so much love that you have to give. There's so much love in your heart that you want to give away to someone. And then what you now realize is sometimes it's very, very easy to lose yourself in the process. It's very, very easy to lose yourself in the process if you're not careful about how you give away the love that you have, the compassion and everything, right? It's very easy. But at the time, I wasn't seeing it that way. I was operating from a standpoint of, if this person is my person, there's no need for me to
Hold
hold
back.
back. There's really no need to hold back. Just be myself, give this person my all, make sure that they are okay, make sure that every step of the way I'm there to support them, in every way, shape, or form that I can. I mean, yeah, so that's how we basically met, and then things happened. Luckily, she was also coming here as well, that's to Canada. And then, okay, sure, let me just surprise this girl back home. And for me, coincidentally, there was one prayer I prayed a long time out of. I was like, "God, the only thing that's going to take me back home is to go find a wife or to go get married." This was something I said
Really?
back. Yes, the last time I went back home before then was in 2014.
Wow.
That was in 2014, and I was
Wow.
like, "The only thing that's going to take me back to Nigeria, it's just to go get married." That's basically what I said, and luckily for me, it happened that way. I went back. I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not? Let me just go use the opportunity to see her parents, see my parents, see her folks." And then I went back home. We dated, proposal thing, got COVID as well. I
Did you say
was back
little proposal thingy?
there.
Fam, this proposal wasn't a small little thingy. It was a big thingy. I mean, I watched the video and I was just like, I was looking at my friend and I'm like, Ayo. Like that's what I love about Ayo. Ayo is intentional. Like when he says I'm gonna do this, he will do it to the T. He doesn't compromise on the little details. He's not the kind of a person to be like, oh, I'm just gonna do it anyhow, or I'm just gonna leave this out. It's like to the damn T. I watched this video, it was like 20 minutes long, and my mouth was just open, and I'm just like, ah. Like literally, I wish you could see my face. It was nah, it was
I tried my
amazing. It was
best.
amazing. It was amazing.
I tried my best. I did the best I could. I
You
mean,
did. You did. You outdid yourself, bro. I love it for you.
I wanted to do it on the boat cruise. That was what I was thinking at first. I wanted to do a boat cruise thing, but when they called the price for me, I was like, okay, this is beyond my pay grade. This is
Right.
beyond my pay grade. But I was like, how can we make this, fall into my pay grade and still be memorable and still wonderful, right? And then I had a couple of friends that helped me out, and then we did the thing. It was nice.
It was really nice. It was really, really nice. I can't even imagine
Crazy.
how it was being in, because I watched it on video. I wasn't there in person, but I can't imagine being there in person, like just the energy and everything.
To be honest, I was even mad at the event planner because they were missing a lot of details, right? I was like, guys,
See what I'm saying?
I have this thing planned. Like, I need you guys every single way. Like, I
Yeah.
think that something was missing. I can't remember what was missing, but we had to compromise.
Right.
In my head, I was like, the time was already running out, and I was like, okay, you know
Yeah.
what? I'm just gonna let it slide. Just let it be. And
Yeah.
to be honest, I had to deal with the event planner. I'm like, if they could do this and pull this off, I'll give them extra 10%. But since they didn't pull it off,
Yeah, you kept your 10%.
I kept the extra 10% to myself. And so yeah, we did it. It was on a birthday, actually. It was on a birthday. And then I think she was telling her friends that, oh, you guys got me for the surprise party. You guys are not going to get me for the proposal or anything like that. And unbeknownst to her, it was that same day that I proposed as well. Funny thing, even my guys always see me. There was no way I could say that because I had a lot of things to say. So I wrote that down in the paper in the letter. I gave it to her friends to give it to her, but she was thinking that I wasn't even around, right? So when she read the letter, she's like, okay, what's going on? It was two sheets of paper. I had a lot to write. Like when I write, I like just pour out everything, right? So I gave our friends the letter to give, and she was like, "What's going on? Like, why is he sending me a letter? Like, what was it? It's gonna be something that you're not gonna be present on that." But then she came out and she saw me, and then we did the whole thing. And then I'm not gonna lie, it was what I thought it was gonna be and more,
Yeah, it
right?
was
And
beautiful. It was very beautiful to watch. You put a lot of thought into it, and I was just like, I was in awe because I didn't even know you could pull that type of thing off. I'm not even gonna lie. I just had never seen you in that light. Because Ayo is a jokester. Ayo is the kind of a person that he would just come and he would just like he would just come and he would just start doing. And I'm just sometimes I'm like Ayo, like sometimes I'm like Ayo, calm down, cool down, but. I got to see him in a different light, and I was just like, yeah, like it's just the intentionality for me. When you say you want to do something, I was just like, yeah, like I really, really, really love that you did that. So what led to the demise of the engagement? Because obviously you guys got engaged. Was it in 2020 or 2020? Was it 2019 or 2020 or
No,
2021?
I think it was 2020. Oh yeah, it was 2020. We're in
Or in
2023, right?
2023, yeah.
2021.
2021, right? So what led to the demise of the engagement?
I mean, to be honest, that's one question everyone has been asking me. I don't even have the answer to it. I mean, I have so many theories in my head that this is what could have happened. This is what didn't happen. Initially, I thought it was something that I did, but then when after looking back, I'm like, what exactly did I could have done, or what exactly did I not do, and that's the whole thing. And before that itself, I started reading on attachment theories, right? There was a time where I started to learn more about myself. I think I just stumbled upon it on Instagram or somewhere, and then this whole thing just like I was like, wait, this is me. Like, this is me. What's going on? And then I started reading on attachment theories. You can be anxiously attached. Either you're an avoidant, a secure one, or I think there's a fourth one that's
Oh, there's a fourth
disorganized.
one. I only saw three.
There's a fourth one. That one's not talked about. I think it's anxiously this and that's anxiously avoidant or disorganized, but there's a fourth one. That one's just chaos. It's just chaos. They're just all over the place. So prior to that, I started to read on that. And then I'm just going to dive that real quick back. When I was in therapy, my therapist mentioned something to me that I don't think I've said this anywhere, that do I realize that in the trying to make someone see something, could also be pushing them away. So for me, I had seen some things that my fiance at the time was doing, but I was seeing articles or videos that could help her out, in a way. And then I was sending these videos to her, I was sending all these clips of these articles, but I was just sending it that, okay, maybe if you read this,
Out of the
if
goodness
you,
of your heart to help
yes,
her, right?
that was what I was doing. But my therapist was like, what if doing those things, I was, gradually pushing her away?
Right,
Because
that makes a lot of sense.
sometimes when you want to help somebody, they need to also be willing to receive the help. Right.
Gotcha,
If
right.
you're not willing to receive the help and someone is trying to help you, just like you're just wasting your time. Right.
Yeah,
So
that's
that's
correct.
the caveat between between them everything, right? But then yeah, to answer your question, honestly, I'm not even sure what happened. I just woke up one morning, we're fine, and then she was like she needed a break, and then the break turned into a full-blown breakup, and then I opened my mail the following week. I found my ring in the box, and I'm like, God, what is happening? Like, I'm confused. How did we get here? At first, when she came around, she was like, oh, are we really compatible? And that question kind of struck me in a way. I'm like, not this compatible word again. How come we were compatible almost 2.5 years ago, and all of a sudden we're not compatible now? Like, what's changed between that time and now? Reading on attachment theories and all, just to put everything into words, right? You realize that you attract what you don't have, right? So just like magnets, unlike poles attract, right? So avoidant and anxiously attached people always find a way to find each other, because the anxious one is very empathetic, they have the love, they have the care that the avoidant does not have. And then some sort of security that the avoidant has is what the anxious one is looking for, right? The ability to be independent. But the problem now is these two would always clash if they are not willing to walk through their trauma. Because at the end of the day, both of them are dealing with fear. One is dealing with the fear of being abandoned, and the other one is dealing with the fear of being suffocated. At this point, I should just be a psychologist,
I'm telling you, Ayo, like you find, I pray that God reveals it to you. I always tell you, I'm like,
No.
I pray that He reveals it to you, but we'll talk about that maybe off air. But yeah, I'm telling you, I think that's your calling. I think
Oh,
that's your line of
then,
work.
then so she just called, and then she was like, oh, she needed a break. And then the break turned into a full-blown breakup, and then everything was happening so fast, and I was like, wait, like, I need to catch up with life. Like, what's going on? Honestly, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. I have so many theories, and I've been going back and forth. But thankfully, the only thing that makes sense to me is that, well, I'm just going to surrender it to God, because right now I don't even have the answer to it, right? I'm just going to leave everything to God, focus on myself at the very least. That's the only thing I can do. Right now, I can only account for myself. Can only show up for myself the way I want to show up. Or, sometimes hitting rock bottom is what you need, because when you hit
Yeah,
rock
to
bottom,
reset, yeah.
the only way to go is up. The one thing I also pray to God is I pray, which is something I'm very scared of, that I pray that the aspect of me that is very loving, very kind, very compassionate does not get shut down by this experience, because I
Yeah, I was gonna
feel like it's
ask
gonna
you that, like, what do you
feel,
think is like, what do you think this experience might change in you? Because we have conversations about that as well. But yeah, no, continue.
I just feel like if that part of me shuts down, I'm just gonna be a totally different person. And that's not who I am. That's at the very, very core of me. That's not, there's one question you asked me today, if I would, be with someone who has different multiple partners and everything, right? I was like, you're gonna be, I'm who am I? Who am I? If God can literally forgive us every day for things that we have done, for things that we are not even doing. Do you know how many times I've like for instance, just this year alone, I've told God I'm not gonna miss church. That's my motto for the year. But then things are happening, things are forcing me to like Now I'm missing church. I'm like, God, I know that this is what I promised you, but this is becoming too much. This, that it is become it's becoming too much to handle, right? So that's for me, that's the thing. That's one thing I'm just praying that I don't become resentful to people of the world, because there are good people out there. There are really good people out there. I
Yeah,
mean,
they are.
in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this chaos, you know, a friend of our mutual friend, the one I was just calling you today, right? You know, he should, even though he doesn't know it, he showed up for me in the last 3 months in ways that I don't think that someone would have shown up for me. You know,
Wow,
those are the things I do.
the
Exactly, yes, that one. Yeah, even though he's always been, he's crazy. Then he's a very good person. You
Yeah, no,
know,
he seems like a very good person for sure.
he's very, very selective of his circle. His circle is very small. Like the amount of people he allows in a circle is very, very small. And the fact that he sees me as someone, you know, that can be in a circle tells me a lot of me personally. Right. It tells me, tells me a lot. Okay, even though I'm looking at myself as this, you know, small person, this, you know, looking at myself from a prism of maybe I'm not valuable enough. But I'm like, nah, there are people that would actually value you. People value your opinion. People value your presence, even your absence too. People value it, right? So that way, that's, like I said earlier, operating from a place of abundance, right? So, yeah, that's pretty much it, honestly. This whole experience, the only thing I would just say is
Now God,
that
oh, ayo, now God,
God did
honestly,
dwarf.
honestly, it's God, man. And I feel like that's just why it's important to lean on that higher power, because if not, you just take the experiences, or you take the lessons from the experiences, and it just changes you into a different person. And sometimes, like you said, not even sometimes, for the most part, that's not who you are. But it's like you have to now put on this character to be this ruthless person that you're not. But because of what people have done to you, you feel the need to put up this guard. Even yourself, you're not enjoying this person that you are, but you're
Exactly.
embodying. But because of one or two things that have occurred, you're just like, man, like I just have to be like this because what somebody has scarred me, and I don't want anybody else to scar me. So I'm just going to, you're not enjoying life, you're not living life, you're not really living your true self because of somebody else's, because somebody else, because of whatever somebody else has done to you. So yeah, but no, Ayo, I'm very proud of you. Oh my God, such a great conversation. I got to know you even on a deeper level, things that I did not know prior to Winnipeg, meeting in Winnipeg. Even some things I didn't even know about you in Winnipeg, Safe.
No, it's surprising how like we've always like in a way follow each other everywhere. Like you're in Winnipeg, then you moved to
Right.
Barrie, and
To
then I'm here now.
Calgary.
You
Yeah,
know,
that's
and then
true.
and
That's
now you're
true.
thinking of moving to Annapolis. Maybe, just maybe, I'll be here. You never
Maybe you'll
can
be
tell.
where?
Maybe I'll follow you. You never can tell.
Follow me to where?
Wherever you're going. Yeah.
I mean, huh? There's room. Why not? There's room. No, you're always one person that has always. I don't feel like I've checked up on you as much as I've checked up on as much as you checked up as much as you've checked up on me. And I'll be very transparent with you. I think it was last year that I decided to really sit down, and I was like, who are the people in my circle? I don't believe I have. I don't believe I have a big circle. I don't have a big circle of friends. But at some point, last year, I had to sit down and really take inventory of the people in my circle. And I was actually having a conversation with my mom. And I was like, you know what? I don't have. She was asking. She and because okay. So when I was in university, a lot of people knew me. A lot of people knew me, and that was just because I guess because of my kind heart, just because of who I was. When I gave birth to my first child, when I gave birth to Nifemi, a lot of people was full of students. A lot of people came. So my mom got to meet a lot of my friends. That till tomorrow, she'll still be asking me about some of them. Some of them I still see. Some of them I don't see, or like in person or whatever, but she would ask me about, oh, how's this person? How's that person? How's this person? How's that person? Because my mom got to meet all of them when they came for his naming ceremony. So she was not like, ah, that me, I used to have plenty friends, that has changed, that now I don't have too many friends. I was like, you know what? That's true. And I told her, I said, I have to sit down and take inventory of the people that really, really are there. Really, the people that take time to check up on me. And I was counting and I was like, Ayo. She was like, oh, which Ayo? I was like, Ayo Edo, like my friend from Winnipeg, he's now in Edmonton. She was like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, because Ayo would just randomly call me at any point in time. I'd just be like, Biola. If you don't, what it means basically is, if you don't call me, I'll call you. And I'm like, Ayo. I'll be like, Ayo. And I think for me, that's when I really started to appreciate, because up until recently, I'm not gonna lie, I felt like I was chasing people that didn't necessarily want to be in my life. Or I felt like I was chasing, I guess, is that also not feeling good about yourself, not feeling worthy, not feeling validated, people pleasing. I felt like I was trying to fit myself in circles that didn't necessarily resonate with me or align with me. Not that there's nothing wrong with them, but it was just, the circle was just not who I was, right? And I couldn't really fully be myself. So I had to sit down, I had to take inventory. And I'm not gonna lie, I did tell her. I was like, oh, Ayo, there's another of my friend in Winnipeg as well, that I had to, you know, I called her name as well. But yeah, it's nice to have that relationship with you, Ayo. And I just prayed like for the best. I always tell you that you deserve the best and more. And I know that you see it. You know, sometimes Ayo cut his hair, Ayo come and meet me, be like, ah, Viola will refine boy. Meaning Viola, you not see fine boy. Ah, but fine. You know, just hyping himself up. Ooh. But can we just say a word of prayer to somebody out there? Because you've unpacked a lot here. And like I said, I feel like, I know that somehow, some way, you're going to be doing some kind of mentorship with younger boys who have, in one way or the other, whose story resonates with you, or who have walked some kind of path that you've walked. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what, but I know that that is coming very soon. And I feel like this is the season that God is preparing you for. That's why he's stripping you of everything that you know. And he's like, my son, come to me, come and rest in my arms and let me give you the secret. So... but anywho, let's say a word of prayer for somebody, or to somebody out there who's currently listening to this and who is just in that place and they're just like, man, I don't know how to move. I don't know what to do. I'm just tired. I'm lost. I need help. And even if, just let's say a word of prayer to somebody who's out there who's listening to this. Please pray. Yeah, everyone is going to pray.
Okay. Where do we start? Whoever is listening to this, I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. Like, God is always with you. All you just need to do is just ask him. There's this book I'm reading right now. It's titled, that's it. I can't even remember the title of the book, but something about when God says yes, or something like that. Whenever I remember the title, but that book just basically says that God is everywhere. God is literally there with you, just waiting for you to call on him. One example that the author gave in the book, which is Lisa, she said that, how do you imagine if you have a friend who you are planning a surprise party for? You know, you've done all that you needed to do. You've invited all the guests, invited everybody. There's food, there's everything, right? And then this friend gets to the venue. Every single time she gets, like, the venue is basically a house. Every time she gets to the house, she uses the front door. And this particular day where you had already done a surprise party for this person, and she decides to use the back door. And then you know that she has guests waiting. She had all the food that you've cooked will get spoiled and everything. And then you're trying to get this person to go through the front door, but this person like, no, I'm going through the back door. Mm-hmm. So now that element of what you want to see, surprise, is no longer there. Mm-hmm. That's basically how God feels. Mm-hmm. Every time he calls us and then we decide to do nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Or you decide to go through the back door, that all you just need is just walk through the front door. Mm-hmm. You know? So that is that you can imagine that, like, feeling that way. So I just want to say that whoever is listening to this, God is there. God is there. All you just need to do is call on Him. Open your heart. Sometimes the way they think that you want to do things, it's not the way that it would happen for you. Sometimes you need to hit rock bottom, because bottom is the only way. From rock bottom, the only way is up. There's literally nowhere to go from rock bottom. There's literally no way, right? And then whoever is listening to this, I just pray that you're able to open your heart to God in such a way that when it comes, you're able to receive it. You know, there are things that would happen that you want to hold grudge to God. I just want you to know that it's okay. It's okay to hold that grudge. Just have it at the back of your mind that the grudge that you're holding is valid, and just cry to God and let God know that you feel hurt by the things that are happening, and you just want a way out. You know, you just want a way out. You want a divine strategy on how to navigate this times, and just ask Him to show you the way, and you'll be surprised. I mean, what's it called? We were speaking yesterday. I was it yesterday or this morning? How I was telling you how everything was crashing, work, relationship, everything was just crashing in front of me. But at the same time, I was able to see the positive in it. I met two great people. Like, I literally, yeah, I
You had
met
such a great
two
time
great people.
yesterday.
I met two great people. And if things begin to work the way I'm looking at them, these two people, I know some way or somehow they would be of influence at some point. And if this has not happened, right, I wouldn't have met these people. And that also ties back to coming from a place of abundance. I could have just said, there's so many things going on in my life, disregard what happened yesterday, but I'm looking at it from a different perspective. And I'm like, I met these two people. Like, one of them is literally in the ladder of corporate America, the other one's in top of his game. Like, what are the chances? And I'm there, and I'm just there without anything. I'm just looking at how can I tap into these people? And they're just right there in front of me. All right. So just knowing that alone, I just want you to know that God is always working, even though you can't see it immediately. Speaking of immediately, something else I think we should have talked about is enjoying the process of things happening. You know, enjoying the process of things happening. That's something that most people do not even like. Everyone wants the shiny armor, the shiny gold. No one wants to go through the process. No one wants to go through the night where you're crying, where you feel like crap, where you're just in free state. And you're like, God, what is all this that's happening? So whoever is listening to this, I pray that God grants you the solitude to be able to come back to Him and, pour out your heart to Him. You know, I pray that He also grants you the grace to receive the blessings that are just right in front of you, because sometimes it's very easy to lose the diamond in your hand when you're looking for stones. Yeah.
Rema,
All of this, I do pray that, whatever it is that you're seeking, whatever it is that you're praying for, whatever it is that you're asking God for, you're believing God for, just hang in there. There's one quote my friend always tells me whenever I call him. His name is Malik. God bless his soul. Malik is one friend. I might not speak to Malik for 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, but when I call Malik, it's a downpour. Malik always says something, and that has helped me through so many times, so many dark times. Malik will always say, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how dark it must all the dawn must surely come to pass. I mean, it will always get like so. That itself just tells you that, yeah, you might be passing through a dark time right now, but just happy that someday the light is gonna come. Problem with that is you just don't know when.
You
That's
just don't
and
know
that's
when, so
and,
you
and
have to keep your
yeah
head up and just
yeah and that and
stay the
that's and that's
course.
and yeah that's just the thing about humans, right? Because we want it now, right? We want it now. We always tend to skip the delayed gratification, which is something I'm learning to do now, right? Something I'm also learning to do to enjoy the process. The process of delayed gratification, right? I mean, everyone wants it now, 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 now. But the beauty of the end is actually in the process. Right. So whoever is listening to this, I pray that God gives you the solitude to to receive him with open arms. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Well, I thank you for having me. I think we should be doing this more often. This is much more clear.
I really enjoyed the conversation, and thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that I listened to God, because we're in the car yesterday when I asked you, and this is not the first time that I've asked you to be on the podcast. I've asked you before. And then yesterday, I was actually, it was just like when we were driving down, I was just like, what am I going to talk about? Because I legit did not have anything to release, any episode to release tomorrow. And I didn't release an episode last week. And I'm like, man, I don't want to do 2 weeks and not release an episode. 1 week, okay, I feel like nobody will notice. But going on 2 weeks, I'm like, even myself, I'm like, I don't want that to be the norm. So I legit was just like, God, what will I talk about? God, what will I talk about? And something just said, Ayo. And I just turned to you and I was just like, Ayo, do you want to be on the podcast? And I kept on asking you and asking you and asking you and asking you, because I didn't want you to be like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, we're doing this, but so amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so grateful. I had such a wonderful conversation with you, Ayo. I got to know you on a different level. And I'm just so glad for the things that God is using you for. And we will always celebrate each other. We will always like...
Definitely.
We'll always celebrate each other. We'll always remember these days, these times where it was just, felt like everything was just dark, but we still are staying the course and just seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, it's going to be good. It's good. Not it's going to be, it's good. It's good.
All you need to do now is just shoot me an email the same way you've done. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll hop on.
Okay, all right.
I feel like there's so many things that needs to be, that's in this head that needs to get out.
See? Thank you, Jesus, for this platform, because sometimes people, like, it's beautiful because people, when I ask people to do this, they don't even, some people are like, yeah, for sure. But I think within my circle, some people don't see themselves that way. They're just like, really? Come on the podcast. What am I going to talk about? I'm like, just chill. We're just going to have a conversation. It's nothing. So I'm just so glad that I have this platform to be able to like help people see themselves from a different angle, in a different light, and just be like, God can use you. It's just you that's just stopping yourself from being used, you know? So, but yeah, anyways, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure you rate the podcast. You share the podcast, and make sure you also rate the podcast, because it helps with our ratings on Apple, Spotify. I think we're on Amazon as well. I'm not sure, but I do know for sure Spotify and Apple, we are on there. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate your time, and I will catch you guys on the next episode.